That's what you need, the Word of God, right? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. I guarantee if you're not running the Word through your heart day and night, you are not blessed. I just guarantee it.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we finish up our look at Psalm 1, and you have a question for our listeners.
Yes, I do, Dave, and my question is, which man or woman are you? And what do I mean by this? Well, let's see. Turn with us to Psalm 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Do you scoff at the Word by being indifferent to it, thinking your wisdom and your time is more important? Do you scoff by substituting your own ideas and experiences and emotions and feelings? Do you scoff at it by listening to it proclaimed and then ignoring it, failing to obey it? Do you scoff at it by turning away from it, finding things to tickle your ears? Paul was so concerned in his last letter to Timothy, in the climax of this letter, after declaring the sufficiency and the integrity of God's word, that all scripture is God-breathed, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing, preach the word. He's talking to Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. If you are hearing the word of God at church, and you're not being reproved and rebuked and exhorted with great patience and instruction, something is very wrong. But he told Timothy to do this. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, they can't remain under it, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's scoffing at the word of God by their actions. Proverbs 13:13, the one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Proverbs 28, verse 9, he who turns his ear away from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. There are a lot of people on a daily basis who claim to be Christians who are scoffing at the word of God by their choices. They're sitting in the same seat of those who don't know Christ by their actions. So then, the blessed man does not listen to the counsel or live his life according to the counsel of the wicked, doesn't act like the world, and doesn't live a life that ridicules God and his word. If you live a life that ridicules God and his word, you're scoffing at him. So which man are you? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast from the beginning our assurance firm to the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Which man are you? The one who despises the word? You'll be in debt to it. Or are you one, as we will see in our passage, who delights in God's word? So the blessed man doesn't go by the world's counsel, doesn't live a lifestyle of sin, doesn't live a life that scoffs God and his word. But what does he do? What does the blessed man do? Back to our passage, verse 2. But in contrast, his delight is the law of the Lord. Instead of these things, this is his delight. Instead of listening to the counsel of the wicked, instead of living like the world, instead of having a life that ridicules God and his word, instead of that, the blessed man does what? He delights in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. Now, what does this word delight mean? Well, in Hebrew, there's two words for delight. One speaks of enjoying. That's Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. The other word speaks of experiencing emotional delight, feeling great favor towards something, desiring something. And that's our word here. You see, the blessed man has great favor, personal, emotional delight to the Word of God. Now, that's not a perverted delight like we see in Ezekiel from those who hear the Word and it's like a sweet song to them and they don't do it. That's not what this is talking about. This is about people who love the Lord and thus His Word. You see, you can't delight yourself in the Lord unless you delight yourself in His Word also. So then, the blessed man desires and delights, takes pleasure in the law of the Lord. Takes pleasure in God's Word. You see, when we don't delight in it, when we delight in other things, for our counsel, whatever it might be, that's idolatry. When we delight in the Word, we delight in it because it is the law of the Lord. It's His Word. It's His Word to us. And to delight in His Word is to ultimately delight in Him. The blessed man desires, delights, takes pleasure in His Word, thus desires, delights in Christ. The blessed man has an intense desire for the Lord and His Word. Does this describe you? Has something gotten in the way? What sin's in the way? Confess it. Be forgiven. Do you desire to know the Lord? Do you desire to seek Him? Do you treasure His Word? Do you see it as valuable? Read the Proverbs. Now, you might think people have a great desire for Jesus. Well, if they don't desire His Word, they don't truly have a great desire for Him. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. You see, the fool does not delight in understanding, Proverbs 18:2. The fool does not delight in understanding, but only revealing his own mind. Many fools in the pulpits these days who do not delight in the Word of God, but delight in revealing their own thoughts. Many foolish people in the pews who do not delight in the Word of God, but delight in those who coddle their worldly mindsets and teach according to their worldly desires. Oh, if the church was like what we read in the Psalms. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 16. Let's turn to Psalm 119. You want to see someone who's blessed? Read about this one in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 16. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Verse 24. Thy testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. There you go. Don't go to anything but God through His Word for counsel. Now, yes, if another person is a godly person and they give you His Word, amen, praise the Lord. But if that's not the case, don't take the counsel. Verse 35, make me walk in the path of Thy commandments, for Thy delight in them. Lord, help me walk that way. Verse 46, I will also speak of Thy testimony before kings. I shall not be ashamed, and I shall delight in Thy commandments, which I love. Psalm 68, Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I observe Thy precepts. Their heart is covered in fat, but I delight in Thy law. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. Verse 77, Psalm 119. May Thy compassion come to me, that I may live, for the law is my delight. Verse 92. If the law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Some of you are on the edge. You are faltering in your afflictions. And you need to turn to God and delight in Him and delight in His Word. Have a heart change. There's something in the way. There's sin in the way. Confess it. Confess it. Psalm 119, 143. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet Thy commandments are my delight. Verse 173. Let Thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen Thy precepts. I long for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Oh, if the church delighted in God through His Word. What do you delight in and desire? God gives us different desires, but our primary delight should be in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We should delight in His Word. His Word should just be that which is so sweet to us and so wonderful to us. If it isn't, maybe you're not saved or sin has gotten in the way. What do you delight in? Now, there's some kind of delights I see in the church these days that kind of pull people away from the Word of God at times. It kind of spiritualizes their delight. Some people delight in the worship experience rather than Christ through His Word. Some people delight in the pastor's personality or speaking abilities rather than Christ through His Word. Some people delight simply in the church thing more than Christ through His Word. Some people delight in books more than Christ and his word. Devotionals more than Christ and his word. Theology, the reformers, more than Christ and his word. Expository preaching more than Christ and his word. Evangelism, their family more than Christ and his word. Not all these things are bad, but Christ needs to be primary. Christ needs to be primary. What do you delight in? Do you delight in worldly things? Some people on a negative side delight actually in their own anxiety and worry and self-pity. Maybe it's sex, drugs, alcohol. What is it? One pastor writes, "The book of God is a store of manna for God's pilgrim children. The great cause of neglecting the scriptures is not of want of time, but of want of heart, some idol taking the place of Christ." He writes, "If the Bible be used aright by anyone, it will be to him the most pleasant book in the world." What do you delight in? The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. And notice, second half of Psalm 1, verse 2, second half of the verse. "And in his law he meditates day and night." That's all the time. The blessed man's got God's word on his heart all the time. If you are the blessed man or woman, you got God's word flowing through your heart all the time. You got it flowing through day and night. He meditates on it. The term meditate, the Hebrew word, spoke of moaning or uttering or musing or muttering. It spoke of a young lion growling over its prey, Isaiah 31:4. It spoke of the moaning of a dove, Isaiah 38:14. It speaks of, it's translated ponders in the NESB and studies in the New King James in Proverbs 14:28. It's used synonymously with the word to speak. And I would say it means something like this. It's almost like reading it to yourself in a low tone, almost mumbling it through your heart, hearing the word going through. You're speaking it almost to yourself in a sense. It's going through your heart. Turn to Joshua 1:7. Joshua's commissioned by the Lord, by the captain of the armies. Joshua's commissioned. What does he say to him? Joshua 1:7, "Only be strong," and take this to heart, brothers and sisters, in the battles that we fight in Christ. Battle's not against flesh and blood, is it? "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." That's what you need, the word of God, right? "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." I guarantee if you're not running the word through your heart day and night, you are not blessed. I just guarantee it. "So that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have success." It's not simply meditating, it's meditating it so that you would obey it and you would do it. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble, be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And folks, when we are filled with the Spirit, it is an evidence the word is dwelling richly in us. Ephesians 5, parallel passage, Colossians 3. So then, is the word dwelling richly in you or poorly? You see, when you're hardened to the word of God, sin is your problem. Just confess it, be restored, and be the blessed man or woman. So then, we've seen the blessed man is not controlled by sin. It's not his paradigm of life, but he's a man or a woman of the word, delighting and meditating on it day and night. And notice, there's the result. The blessed man or woman experiences true life. Verse 3, "And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers." The blessed man experiences life, and what does that look like? It's stable, there's stability. He will be like a tree firmly planted. There's the source of life, the water here in this illustration, streams of water, firmly planted by streams of water. The water most likely represents the Spirit of God, bringing forth the Word of God to the one who delights and meditates in it. Firmly planted, stable, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Do you lack stability in your walk with Christ? Do trials and storms get the best of you? Sadly, there are many unstable Christians. Don't be one. Don't be one. Focus on Christ. Meditate on His Word. Delight in it. And you'll yield fruit. Look at verse 3. Which yields its fruit in its season. You see, the Word of God through Christ by the Spirit of God will produce fruit in its season in your life. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Colossians chapter 1 reveals what a fruitful walk with the Lord looks like. Colossians 1:9-10. Galatians 5 reveals the fruit of the Spirit. When God's Word is working in the heart of a believer who is not taking counsel from the world, who is not standing in the context of sinners and sin, who is not scoffing at God and His Word, as we will see, but delighting in it, we see here there is stability and there is fruitfulness. Notice there's also eternality, and its leaf does not wither. I believe it speaks of eternality. It doesn't wither. There's also prosperity. And whatever he does, he prospers. The word speaks of success. That's spiritual success. He's blessed. We see virtually the same description in Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's turn to Jeremiah 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. That's really what's going on. For he will be like a bush in the desert and not see prosperity when it comes, but will live in stony waste places or waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by water. Sound familiar? That extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Spiritual prosperity for the blessed man. The blessed man desires and delights in God's word, meditates on it day and night. Which man or woman are you? So then we've seen the blessed man. He's not controlled by sin. He doesn't have the world's paradigm as his basis. He's a man of the word, and he's controlled by the word. But notice, as we finish up, there's a contrast with the wicked. Verse 4, the wicked are not so. There you go. Literally, our text says in Hebrew, not so emphatically the wicked. Everything that was just said about the blessed man is not the case for those who have not had their sins forgiven, for the wicked. Not so. Not so the wicked. I don't usually like the NIV, but they got it right. Not so the wicked. And notice it even gets worse. But they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Chaff is the seed covering. It was the worthless debris separated from the grain or the seed in threshing. And unlike the grain or the actual seed, it had no substance. And it was blown away by the wind. It's unstable. It's worthless. It had zero value. But they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. They're worthless. Zero value. This is a strong statement. The wicked and all they have accomplished is meaningless and worthless. What we perceive is so valuable and so important, and from God's perspective, not man's, but God's, is worthless. The wicked are not so. They are in no way like the blessed, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Strong statement. And notice, because their lives have no value, because they are wicked in their sins, because of that, therefore, verse 5, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. In Hebrew, al kain, therefore, for this reason, because their lives are meaningless and worthless in God's sight, because they are in their sins and they are wicked, they will not stand in the judgment. The term standing in the judgment means standing up to it. They're not going to make it through. They're going to be judged. You see, it is appointed man wants to die and then the judgment. That's what God says. If you die today and you don't know Christ, you'll go to Hades. And then you will go to the judgment, the great white throne judgment. And then you will experience the second death and punishment forever and ever. Turn to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Turn today. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, therefore, having overlooked times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. The wicked aren't going to stand in the judgment. I mentioned Revelation 20 talks about the great white throne judgment. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And I pray none of you go to this. I pray everyone listening actually repents of their sin if you haven't. Because this day, when this happens, you'll remember God was wooing your heart and you rejected him. Don't reject him. Do not harden your heart. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from those things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if any man's name is not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. The wicked will not stand in the judgment. The only way you can stand in the judgment is to get forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The psalmist writes, O Lord, if there were to mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. You can't stand in your sins before a holy God. You'll be judged. But God poured out his wrath on his son Jesus instead. And he paid the full price. And if you're willing to acknowledge yourself that you're a sinner and you need a savior, if you turn to Jesus Christ, believing in him, he died for your sins and rose from the dead, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved and you'll be forgiven. You will not be the wicked. You will be the righteous, and you will have the opportunity to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, to be blessed if you choose and desire him over all things. So then, he says here, for the wicked will not stand the judgment. Notice the parallelism, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Guess what? They're going to be judged, and they're not going to heaven. Sinners are not going to be in the assembly of the righteous. They are in their sins. They'll be separated in punishment forever and ever. Sinners, that's the wicked. And notice why. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He sees their way. That's their path. That's their actions. But the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows their way. Jesus made it clear many thought they knew him, but because of their sin, he didn't know them. Matthew chapter 7. Many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord. He said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Does the Lord know your way? Does he know you? Do you know him? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24. What the wicked fears will come upon them, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked will be no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Don't forget what Jesus said to that lady who said, Luke chapter 11, blessed is the womb that bore you, the breast that you nursed, but he said on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Which man or woman are you?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in the Book of Psalms. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, as we close, will you give us some final thoughts concerning what we have heard today?
Yes, Dave. Well, we've seen there are two types of men, two types of ways, and two final destinations. And so let me ask you this, which man or woman are you? I hope and pray you have trusted in Christ, because if you trusted in Christ, you are truly blessed. But to be blessed on a practical level, we need to be in the Word of God, meditating on it day and night. I pray you are like the blessed man.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.